have your Bible circle with me to Acts chapter 19. And we will be reading from verses 13 through 17. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 17. Praise God. You know, one of the greatest enemies of the church is complacency.
That's it.
Complacency. It's that we get into a place of comfortability where we take our ease in Christ in a sense because there's nothing that's happened, unfortunately. There have been some recent events that have occurred in my life that have, I don't know what you would say, woken me up to make me realize that this is a war that we are in. And that if we fall asleep or if we don't do our best to operate in the way that God has commanded us to operate, that it could mean lives, it could mean someone's eternal destination, it could mean someone's salvation. And so this message today has something to kind of do along with that thought, that whenever we come to the house of God, whenever we are doing the things of God, that we have to do it 100%. We have to go after God with 100%. That's why we're seeing mighty outpourings of the Holy Spirit all across the world, because they have a desire, they have a zeal for God. They understand that if we do not get in touch with God, then it could mean our deaths.
Say it.
It could mean our ceasing of our existence. It could mean that we die. There's a desperation that is in the body of Christ elsewhere that is not in America, because we have become too comfortable with the way things are. And unfortunately, we don't get really serious with God until some tragedy happens, or some trouble, or some drama happens. And then we finally start to get a little bit serious and we wake up. And recent events have made me realize that we have no time to play. That we have no time to just go through the motions or go through the routines of the religious actions as we do. But we have to get serious with God and come at Him with everything that we've got. If you have your Bibles, Acts 19, verse 13. It says, "And certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house, naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews in Greece, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." I want to read verse number 15, from which I'm going to be taking my thought today. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" Today I want to preach you a message entitled, "Who are you?" Who are you? Who are you? And we're going to try to answer that question, hopefully by the end of the service, by the help of the Holy Ghost. If we just go to the Lord in prayer, just invite His presence, get ourselves attuned to His Word today, I believe God can do something amazing and spectacular in this place. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we worship You, we give You glory, we give You praise, we give You honor, because there truly is no one that is like You. And God, there is no one that is worthy of our complete adoration. We even now, we set our hearts right, Lord Jesus. We attune our radios and our spirits to the broadcast of heaven to hear what thus says the Lord. God, speak into our life, O God. We receive Your Word. And Your Word alone. Help us, O God, to really actualize the identity that is written in the Word of God, to become even as You have spoken to us to become, to walk fully in the calling of everything we've been called, to be all that You've called us to be. We just proclaim and declare right now. We set the atmosphere right now for miracles, for signs and wonders, that people might know that You alone are God. We release it right now in the name of Jesus. We bind the work of the enemy. We right now cancel every assignment of the enemy that are trying to move or to try to cause distraction or disruption in this place. We cancel His power. We cut off the communication line. We sever every attachment to it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we release the power of the Ghost even now. Today, rest in us. We thank You in advance, O God, for what You're going to do in this place. We give You all the praise and the glory. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say, Amen. You may be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 is a verse that I'm sure we've all heard at one point or another. But it's what I want to kind of use as a diving board or a launching board for my thought for the day. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." That the early church that operated in the gifts of the Spirit, that relied fully on God's power, were not fooled, or they were not unaware of the devices that Satan used to war against them. Again, as I stated previously, that we are in a war. Every time that we get up in the morning, we are going to war. Whether we realize it or not, we are going to war. When you walk into a job, you're walking into a facility, you're walking into a business organization that is truly overrun by the satanic powers that be. I'm not saying that every institution that's been established is satanic in and of itself, but I'm saying that the individuals that operate in that institution are under the influence of Satan himself, and they are in dire need of being liberated from the powers and the principalities that are influencing them. And one of the things that I realized, every time I go to my job, I'm walking into a war zone, and I'm looking at casualties of war, I'm looking at slaves, I'm looking at prisoners of this war, who are in desperate need of being liberated, and I, who am filled with the Holy Ghost, who have been fully armed and equipped to battle this enemy, I alone can go in there to make this happen, because I alone only have this information. And if you're the only saved person, the only person that's filled with the Holy Ghost in your job, you're the most powerful entity that's there. Because the Bible says that greater sin is within you than he that's within the world. The problem that we have within the church is that we do not fully understand or comprehend our identity, or we are not fully aware of all the devices of the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil roameth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That Satan is doing everything he can to devour, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But often we, as believers in Christ, we are lulled into a sleep, lulled into complacency, lulled into apathy, that we would not fully wage war against the enemy that is taking our children, that is taking our government, that is taking our institutions, that, I sadly to say, is even taking our pulpits and are taking our churches. We as a church must rise up and wake up and realize that we are in a war. And that you cannot play with the devil. You cannot just say, "Oh Lord, please, could you hate this?" No, you need to step up and rise and say, "In the name of Jesus, you have no place. Get out of my space. You occupy the space that belongs to me." You have got to take an aggressive, proactive attitude towards the enemy, because we are in a war. We are in a war. And the sad thing is, the devil has fooled us, he has deceived us into what I say, again, this complacency. Where we just think we're coming to church, we're going to do our thing, do worship service, have a good time, shout. Well, no one has been saved. No one has been really changed. There's been no real revival in this community. Yeah. We have not gained any ground. Yeah. The Bible says that the kingdom serveth God and the vine taken by force. We need to start becoming fighters and becoming more aggressive in the kingdom of God. So one of the things that we're seeing in the church is there is an identity crisis. There is an identity crisis going on in the church, that we're becoming ignorant of who we really are. And I see this identity crisis not only in the church, but in the world. As many of you know, I'm a high school teacher. I deal with high school students all the time. And many of them, they have an identity. They have a false identity, an image to which Satan has propagated in our society. And a lot of the young people, they believe that their identity is with the thugs, or with the gangsters, or with the hoodlums, or the rappers, or with the basketball players. And they identify themselves with the image that has been set up in front of the television screens. It's no different from the time of Daniel. That when Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, that they had been captured by the Babylonians, and Nebuchadnezzar had set up his image and said that when you hear the sound of the music, you bow down to this image. And that's exactly what's going on in this society. As soon as they hear the beat and they see the thug, they see the rapper, they bow down to that image, and they think that the only way that I can be a real man, the only way that I can be a real woman, is if I bow myself down to this image and I'm identified with being a hoodlum, or being a criminal, or being a thug, or being a gangster, or being tough, or being a drug addict, or being excessively promiscuous or sexual. That they think that that's their identity, that's who they are, and it is a lie from the enemy. And they're fully ignorant of it, completely ignorant of it. And this really came to my attention, especially when I was reminiscing about a situation that I had many years ago. Before I met my wife, I had dated a young lady who was in the church, was saved, it was filled with the Holy Ghost, but she had some issues. And some real issues, that's what I'm saying. She had some issues, I'll just put it that way. But I had fallen in love with this girl, and I thought that she was to be my wife and everything. I did everything I could to pursue her. And the thing is, the relationship didn't work out. And I was trying my best to try to rekindle this relationship. I had to break it off because it was messing with the ministry that God had for me. It was messing with my peace of mind. I had to get out of it. And so the thing is, I still had feelings for this girl. I still wanted to go and be with her. I thought perhaps we could work out these issues. And I remember very, very clearly it was on Valentine's Day. At this point, we're just friends. We didn't know our relationship. I was trying to set them up. We're trying to try, you know, rekindle the romance, so to speak. It was Valentine's Day. I got myself all dressed up, got the car clean, got chocolates, got gifts and everything. Had everything planned out to take her out to her favorite restaurant, everything like that. Picked her up and everything. And from the moment she got the car, she was off. The moment she got the car, she just was not feeling it. That's the best way to put it. And that entire trip, the entire day, she did nothing but berate me and insult me. And she basically, she attacked my manhood and said I was effeminate and I wasn't a real man. And said all these horrible, nasty things to me. Me being the devil that I am, but I still finished out the day, still gave her the chocolate, still bought her the food, took her to me when I had anything to do with her. But the thing is, what she had said had gotten into my heart and got into my spirit, because this was someone that I respected. This was someone that I really loved. And from that point on, I began to hate myself. I went through a very... an identity crisis, and then I hated who I was. I didn't think I was a real man. I didn't think I was attractive. I didn't think that there was nothing of value or worthwhile within myself after that relationship. And for years, and I tell you this, for years, I avoided mirrors because I didn't like to look at myself. I hated looking at pictures of myself because I thought I was hideous and thought I had no value in of myself. It really messed me up. Messed me up very badly. And so for a period of some 4 or 5 years, I didn't date anyone. And anyone I tried to even try to approach, I felt extremely secure and thought, how could anyone ever love me after someone I really loved and cared about had said all these things about me? I must not be a very good person. And I can remember very clearly after I tried to go out with someone else who was not my wife again. It gets good. I'm going somewhere with this. I went to a priest of the church in Indiana. And there was a nice young lady there, and I tried to pursue her and tried to get things going. Everything I was throwing at her, this was not working. Tried everything to impress her. And I brought my best friend down there to be my wingman to try and, you know, help me out here, trying to make something happen. And it just wasn't happening. I felt so discouraged. All those words and insults and things that were hurled at me so many years ago came back at me, and I became very depressed until I realized something. I said, you know what, I may have dodged a bullet here. And the thing is that rejection is just redirection. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm also going to do this, by the way, I'm addressing myself, that the fact of the matter is, she is unworthy of me because she could not recognize the greatness that was in me. And I began to realize my identity as a, not as a man, but as a man of God. And realize that I am worth someone dying for. And realizing that, no, you know what, I don't need her. I don't need anyone else. I can be happy in myself and God alone. And I remember the year when I really figured that out. And I just started sowing myself into God. He must have been reminding how much God loves me. And the year I did that was the year I met the one that really does love me. Yeah. I can tell you, I've never been so happy in my life. Believers in Christ, quit putting up with the garbage that the enemy's putting at you and trying to make you feel like you're not worth anything or valuable. You need to realize your identity is in Christ. One of the issues that we have is that we identify ourselves with the works or the things that we do. When the fact of the matter is, it's not that, it's about what Christ has done. I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that I saw on Facebook a young person I used to pastor back in Michigan. After she got up on Facebook and began saying, well, I'm a one God tongue talking apostolic Pentecostal this, I don't cut my hair and I wear it on the skirt, and I do all this other stuff. And when I saw it, it just didn't sit well with me. Because the reason, the thing is, you're talking about all the things that you do, but not once have you said anything that He has done. Salvation has nothing to do with what you have done, but everything to do with what He has done. The moment when the focus gets on you is the moment we've lost it all. Should not be boasting about how much I talk in tongues. received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. That word power in the Greek is exousia, meaning authority. That God has given you the legal entry right, the right to operate within the kingdom of God. That same word we find also in Luke 9, chapter 1, when Jesus is commissioning his disciples. He says, then he called his disciples together and gave them power, the Bible says. And so that he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. He gave them authority to arrest every trespasser of the word of God. Meaning that the things of the enemy, such as sickness and disease, such as depression and mental illness, such as all manner of ill, evil, and wickedness that we see in the world, the Bible says that God has gifted you with authority to put that thing underneath your feet. And the reason why it's underneath your feet is because you're joined to Christ, you're a joint heir with Christ, and because Christ has conquered all, you have conquered all. You have conquered all. Every principality, every power, every government, every issue, every circumstance, every problem is under the feet of Jesus Christ. And because we are his body and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, we have that same authority and we even have that same ability. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, meaning ability, force, strength, and might to do supernatural things, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to command the panther to cease and to desist and to stop in the name of Jesus. God has given you. But do you realize your identity in God? Are you allowing the enemy to walk all over your life? Don't take it anymore. Get fed up and wage war against the enemy and rise up as a child of God. The fact of the matter is that the enemy always tries to come against us with our past and said that you should be ashamed in trying to rise up and do the things of God. Don't you know what you did? And he's always trying to remind you of your past, your identity before you got saved. Even though the word of God says that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, all things are passed away. All things have become new. The old has been dead. The old has been dead. Let me tell you something. The reason why the enemy is trying to get you. I want you to turn with me to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 3. Here's how the devil gets you. This is why the devil's able to get you. Because we're Holy Ghost filled, we're saved. We have the power of God dwelling within us. But here's an explanation as to why the devil's able to get us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The reason why the devil is able to get you, because there's some part of your life which is not hidden behind the veil of the blood of Jesus Christ. And whenever you're outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're exposed and you're vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. In other words, you need to completely immerse yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ, wholly trust him in his mercy and his grace and his ability, not by might, not by power, but by spirit, says the Lord. And when you hide yourself completely in God, the enemy is unable to afflict you, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But every tongue that you rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn, for this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. When you put yourself completely in God, the wicked one touches him not, the Bible says. You need to recognize your identity in Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the perfecter, he is the completion of everything that is good and righteous and good and wonderful and excellent. And the Bible says that the status in which Jesus Christ is right now in heaven is the exact status that you are in right now in this world. Identify yourself with Christ. Get your driver's license, so to speak, and show it to the devil and say that the God of the universe has given me permission to drive down these streets and to reclaim our houses, our families, our schools, our places of business in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that is my position in God. That is my position in God. The Bible also goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, what know ye not that he which is joined to an heart is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When you are saved, you are joined unto Christ. And that one spirit, there's a unity that is there. And the Bible said that what God has joined together, let no man put a
You don't need someone to lay hands on you. You just need to start walking in the truth that is already in Christ, that you are a son of God, and that you have power, authority, and ability to trample and to tread on all the power of the enemy. It's all under your feet. We've already won the battle. We need to start acting like it. Can you imagine if the police of this city became afraid of the criminal and would never step up to the criminal to arrest them from doing the crime? But that is what we are seeing in the kingdom of God. That God has authorized you to be the police officers, to detain all those who trespass in the word of God, to detain every demonic force, every satanic principality. But the cops are afraid to pull the trigger. The cops are afraid to go into the neighborhoods and preach the same. Chapter 19, we'll try and wrap this up. Said, then certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Who are you? That is the challenge that the devil is mocking and is sending out to you. Who are you to step in my place of business and trying to stop what I'm trying to do? Because I run this joint. I'm the God of this world. I'm the prince of the power of the air. I do whatever I please. I own the minds of the individuals of this world. I run this. Who are you? Who authorized you? Who deputized you? Who gave you the ability to come in my place? And we should pull out a badge called the blood of Jesus and say, this is me, my authority. The blood of Jesus has conquered you. Who am I? I'm the Son of God. That's who I am. Who am I? I'm the righteousness of God. Who am I? I'm holy in God. I'm complete in Him. I'm perfect in Him. I'm peaceful in Him. That's who I am. Now get to me out of my police car and let me take you to hell where you belong. In the name of Jesus. That's what we should be saying to the devil. Are we going to allow the devil to continue to issue this challenge of who are you? We ought to be saying we are the church of the living God. We are the church of the living God. And we are going to rise up and we're going to walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, walk in purity, walk in power, walk in dominion, walk in authority. In the name of Jesus Christ. But who are you? Jesus is even asking the same question, who are you? Because the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name did we not cast out devils? And in thy name did we not many wonderful works? Then I profess to them, I never knew you. Yes. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Amen. The thing is, the seven sons of Sceva, they were trying to do something that they were not authorized to do. They had no authority. They were trying to operate by the flesh and by their own pride and ego. And because of that, they got the nuts kicked. But if you operate fully hidden in Christ, you operate by the Spirit of God, nothing can defeat you. Nothing. The scripture said that Jesus, he gave them power over all devils. Over all manners of sicknesses and diseases. Over everything that we have. Who are you? Who are you? We need to quit identifying ourselves with our situation or our circumstance. Because the fact of the matter is, the circumstance on this earth is a lie anyway. It's our circumstance or our position in heaven that is the truth. Which is why Jesus said that you're supposed to ask our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the truth is in the heavens. The lies in the earth, and the devil thinks that you're supposed to be sick, that you're supposed to be miserable, that you're supposed to be depressed, that you're supposed to be oppressed and manipulated by the enemy. He's got you to buy into that position. But the fact of it is, my identity isn't where I am here. It's up there. And because I'm up there, I'm going to bring heaven down here and move me to the next place that God wants me to be. Who are you? Who are you? That's the question that the devil's asking. That's the question Jesus is even asking. Who are you? Do you know me? Do you know him in the power of his resurrection? In the sufferings of the cross, having denied yourself? Do you know him? And when you know him and he knows you, then the devil will know you. And when they know you, they'll obey you. He said, Jesus I know, I've got authorization. But where's your badge? Where's your uniform? Where's your gun? Where's your taser? Where's your stun gun? Where's your pepper spray? Where's your squad car? Who are you? He's trying to pull me over. That's the devil saying to you. Who are you? Are you going to let him pump you out like that? No, we need to identify ourselves in Christ. Don't let the devil ask that question and let it go unchallenged or unanswered. My identity is in Christ. And it's in Him that I live and I move and I do. He is the focal point. He's the central point of my existence. I identify myself not by my circumstance in this earth, not by the problems that I face, not my financial status, not by even my racial, ethnic status, my family status, or pedigree. I identify myself by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is where I get my identity. Because in Him all things have been made new. All the old passed away. Condemnation is gone. And I can approach the throne of grace boldly to make my petitions known that I may obtain mercy. It's in Jesus Christ alone. Identify yourself with Jesus Christ. You're not a loser. You're not a wimp. You're not defeated. Because Jesus Christ is not a loser. Jesus Christ is not defeated. Jesus Christ is not a wimp. And the Bible says that we're joined with Christ. That he that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. We're joined in the Christ. Since Christ isn't down, that means I'm not down. Christ isn't dead, that means I'm not dead. Christ is not defeated, that means I'm not defeated. You can put your badge and start arresting the enemy in the name of Jesus. Shall we stand? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? We could have a deputizing service today where Christ begins to authorize and enable and empower the body of Christ to do what it needs to do.
Amen.
We need to take this city. We need to turn this city upside down. We need to become aggressive and violent and angry at what the devil is doing and stop accepting the status quo. Stop accepting the streets that are littered with drug addicts, littered with all manner of evil and sexual promiscuity, littered with the abused, littered with the rape victims and the molested, littered with the disenfranchised, the mentally insane and unstable. We can no longer accept this. We got to take this by storm. We have no time to play. This is a war. This is a war. And the way that we war is not just by having a prayer service. The way that we walk is not just by fasting and reading our Bible. The way that we walk is we go out and we preach the gospel. And we lay hands on the sick. We may not be able to bring everyone to church, but we can bring the church to them. That's how the pastors did it, and that's how we ought to do it. When you go to your job, you walk in authority. You start flashing that badge. Yeah, I'm with Jesus Christ. Yes, I once was lost, but now I am found. He is my identity. My identity is Him. My identity is in Christ. That's why I identify myself. I boast of nothing of myself. I have nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. I have nothing to do with this. It's Jesus Christ who did this. He is the one. He is the one that did it. The question is though, who are you? Who are you? If you've not been deputized, you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you've not repented of your sins, you've not given yourself over to God, you came today, and you can find your identity. You've been trying to identify yourself with the ways of this world, with the fads and the fashions and the trends of this world, and you're finding yourself empty. You're finding everything void. You're finding no type of fulfillment in it whatsoever because it's a lie.
That's right.
It's not who you really are.
That's right.
It's not who you really are. Your real identity, the truth, is in Christ because He's the way and He's the truth and He is the life. You can find your identity. I deal with young people all the day who are lost. They are wanderers. They are sheep without a shepherd. They wander around aimlessly. No goal, no objective, no purpose, no destination. And because they wander, the enemy, the predator, Satan is able to pick them off. And that's why we're in the body of Christ. Need to show them the truth, who you really are. You are not a loser. You're not mentally insane. You're not homosexual. You're not that. You're not any of that. What you are is in Jesus Christ. So you need to come and give your life to Christ. Begin in Him so that the devil can no longer oppress you anymore. He can no longer afflict you anymore. You can know, there's a movie that came out a few years ago. It's called The Mask of Zorro. And it was about the story of Zorro and how he grew up and he was passing it out to another guy. And this guy who was trying to train to become the next Zorro, he was trying to kill his enemy and was so killed his brother. And he had to go undercover to infiltrate his enemy to find out more about him. And he's becoming more infuriated watching this guy just living the high life and he killed his brother and everything. And he asked the guy that was in training, he asked the original Zorro, like, I feel all this pain, feel this anger, how do I hide it? How do I deal with it? And he said, you hide it with this. It gave him a mask. And that mask was the Zorro outfit. And through that persona, he overthrew his enemy. The enemy didn't know it was him. And he was able to infiltrate, he was able to destroy his enemy. What I'm saying is this. How do you deal with all the pain and all the issues that you have? You put on the garment of praise. You put on Christ. You put on the helmet of salvation. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. You put on the shoes of peace. You guard yourself with the shield of faith. And you attack the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. And the devil doesn't even know it's hitting him. He doesn't even realize it's you doing it. Because what it is, it's Jesus that's doing it. Hide yourself in Christ. Take all that put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Where you can wash away every stain and every sin. In the name of Jesus.